See, Clay, when you get a little older, you got to have these when you start reading. I used to be like Clay. I was in here yesterday, and Clay was speaking, and I thought, I remember the days when I didn't have to put reading glasses on. And I have. Most of it is going to be memorized, but I have to take care of the validity of it every once in a while by reading a little bit. You know, and just having a mixture of both. Uniquely winners in the end. Do you ever feel like that you are losers most of the time in world situations?
I don't receive that. I sometimes feel that.
I do too. I do too. And you know, it looks like a losing situation a lot of times. In government, in politics, in the United States of America, a lot of times I say, you know, I would have really done things differently. You know, godly wisdom appears to be missing a lot of times in the political process.
Amen.
And it really, I think a lot of times I think, where is the world's wisdom? But you know, there's no wisdom outside of Jesus Christ. You know? And it's almost as if, on one hand, I don't want to get involved because of all the dirtiness. Not everyone's dirty in politics, but of all the underhanded stuff and the lobbying and all like that. I don't want to get involved. But then the Lord says, if you don't get involved in some kind of way, then how are they going to have my voice in that situation? So I encourage you to get involved with school boards, city government, state government, national government, because like Nancy will tell you, a lot of the problem in the nation today is Christians has let non-Christians with their foolishness get in places of authority. And then they're not doing things God's way. You know, God's got a way for everything to be done. Word of God says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. But the thing about it, a person has got to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ before they can know what God's will is for a situation or for life. You know, and it's two types of people in the world. Saved and lost. We can divide them up any kind of way we want to divide them up. But they're either saved or they're even or lost. And the only way to have victory that's ours in the end is to know the forgiveness from Jesus Christ as he's died, bearing all our sins on Calvary. And he backed it up by rising again. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know what, Christians? We have benefits that are out of this world. You got corporations that can give you good benefits. One good benefit is health insurance for your corporations. But the thing about it is, we've got health insurance that's out of this world as Christians.
Amen. We can have health and not need that insurance.
That's right. That's right. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor because God uses doctors. You know? But I'm not saying that healing went out the door, that Jesus bore stripes on his back, and then that age has left us. That age has not left us. Healing is for today.
Yeah.
You know, in order to experience victory in our lives. We've got to be born. On July 4th, 1954, I almost wasn't born. My dad had come to Lincoln, Georgia, that's home, had a family reunion there. My dad had, and I say has, not did have, because those who have gone on to be with Jesus, they're more alive than we are today. You know, so I won't be speaking about has or anything about them. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. My goodness, that's exciting, and our spirit man goes right to be with the Lord when we leave here. But my dad went to Lincoln for a family reunion. My mother, we were in St. Joseph's Hospital in Augusta, and she was trying to birth me. And she really, it was in a Catholic hospital, and it was really what should have been done. She should have had a cesarean. But the doctor didn't recommend that. And we struggled overnight. I've heard my mom say this over and over and over to me until her dementia got to a point where she could no longer tell me. Every birthday I had, well, son, you're a miracle from God. I want you to know you're a miracle from God. But then that stopped a few years ago. She'll be 99 if she's still living on December the 28th. But my grandmother, godly woman. You know, you can be a godly woman, but you can still have fear to wreck you. She went through a tornado that went through Lincoln. And if a thunderstorm was coming up and it was loud, you know, she would really get scared, even though she trusted in the Lord. She went to bed that night on July 4th. And God gave her a dream. And God said, unless I intervene, both your daughter-in-law and your grandson are going to die tonight. You ever heard the statement, standing in the gap? He said, I want you to stand in the gap for both of them. And she started praying. She got on. And you know, it's a Pentecostal term. Is that you pray till you pray through. You know, my dad always said this. My dad always said, I pray until I get the peace of God. And the peace of God is something that Satan can't duplicate. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that keeps our hearts and keeps our minds in Christ Jesus. It's nothing like the peace of God. Because I tell you, this is not a peaceful world. These aren't peaceful people that we're dealing with. And if somebody's lost, there's no peace in them. They're miserable as anybody can be. Because there's a God hole in us that's got to be filled. You know? And people are going to fill that God hole with something. And the thing about it is this, that's where we come in, because we've got the answer to the filling of that God hole. We've got the answer to it. My grandmother prayed. God intervened. Mama's surgeon said the next morning, he said, and I'm quoting, he said, I would not give you a damn nickel for either one of y'all's lives last night. Got to be born before you can be born again and before you can experience the victory. There's another time in my life. Life went on, and high school years came along. And you know, Nancy was mentioning last night, she's mentioning Joseph, and Joseph may have been a little cocky, but you know, Joseph was 17 years old then. Just think about when we were 17 years old, and some of us may not have made it there yet, but it's been a long time ago for me. It takes a lot of memory to grasp, but I know I was in rebellion at 17. I grew up in a Christian home. Every time the church doors opened, I was there. Not by my choice. Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon. We had youth fellowship on Sunday afternoon. Then they fed us. And then on top of that, and it was real big back then, way back when I was growing up, training union, and then evening worship. I got to looking at that, and we were there 5 hours consecutively. And, you know, rebellion builds up after a while. And my dad was like this. My dad had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We grew up in a Baptist church. He was the only one in that church that had the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But my dad let religious thinking get a hold of him. When I got saved, I was up cutting my neighbor's grass. That's up 2 houses from where I live. And my mom came up there and she said, "We've got a special summertime youth minister that's going to be holding these meetings this summer. And I want you to go," and they're meeting in the nursery of all places, "and I want you to go." And I resisted her. I said, no, Mama, can't you see I'm trying to make some money here and trying to help out by doing that, by cutting this grass? I don't have time to go over to the church for another meeting. See, what I had done is this. I picked a Sunday night where it wasn't many people there. And I done put off walking the aisle and joining the church. And I said, it's not many people here tonight. I'm going to go down and join the church. And I went down. And I joined the church. And the next day I was in the stuff just like I was prior to joining the church. Joining the church doesn't save you. Doesn't save you. You know, a lot of people may say, "Well, my goodness, my name's on that church roll over there. And I go every Easter, whether I feel like going or not." You know? It's the way it is. But salvation is beyond a church membership. So here was the high sheriff of heaven working through my mom to get me go to the nursery for a summer worker. And I got in there, and even though I've been in church all my life, Holy Spirit dealt with me, and I received Jesus as Savior and Lord of my life.
As a baby, good place to
be. I know it. Yeah, that's right. If we only come as little children unto Him, and He won't turn us away. Well, a few years after that, rebellion stepped in. About Joseph's age, that I mentioned earlier, maybe about 17 or 18, where you think you know it all. And if you hadn't got there yet, I pray that it will be a short-lived thing, you know. Because here's the thing about it. During that time, you think your mom and daddy is stupid. But as you get older, your mom and daddy become wise all of a sudden. And you think, my goodness, they are wise. You know, and if you could skip that step where you think you know more than mama and daddy, it's wonderful, because there's some school of hard knocks that go along with that. You know, you say, "I'm going to do it my way. I want to learn by trial and error," you know. But a lot of times it's good to listen, Clay, to our parents and to listen to what they've got to say and draw on the wisdom that they have. Went a little bit longer because it's Baptist church, okay? We started going on a Sunday night to a Pentecostal church. We're going Sunday mornings to Lincoln Baptist, Sunday nights to Faith Community Church. And my wife received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by listening to an evangelist named Steve Snyder, who was a classmate who graduated the same year that I graduated. And he's an evangelist in Atlanta, Georgia now. And I had his tape in there, listening to that, going to work. I was working at that time, then got out of school, and I was working at Boar Brick, the largest brick company in the United States, located in Augusta, Georgia. I had to commute. It's a 40-mile commute. I stick his tape in there and listen, and all of a sudden the power of the Holy Spirit started filling that car, and I got to work, and I worked in an office as a senior accountant. I went in that office and closed the door behind me, and I ran around my desk because I was so full and overflowing. They had a road, a dirt road back there, that went to, a lot of times when you're mining for brick, you've got a big hole left there. You fill it with water, put some fish in it, and you got a good fishing hole, okay? And they call it the brick ponds. Lunchtime came, and I couldn't stand just being confined in that office anymore. And I went out, and I had some workout clothes, because I would play tennis sometimes. They had a shower there. Changed in those workout clothes, and I run down that road this way and ran back up the road that way and just all excited all the time. I tell you what, if you remember how it was when you first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and if it's a memory of a great time, but it's not duplicated regularly, you're missing out. You know, that's manna from God that's new every morning, every day. You know, when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, going to the promised land, God provided new manna every day. And it's the same way in our lives. Don't get to the point where you're surviving on yesterday's blessings. You know, don't get to the point where somebody says, we want some testimonies tonight. And you get there and you say, well, 30 years ago, God did such a wonderful thing in my life. You know, I want to ask him, well, what's he done today? What's he do yesterday? You know, because we are as shining lighthouses for him. And let me tell you this. The Christians keep their mouths shut, there's not going to be any truth going forth. There's lies, there's corruption, the ways of the world to pull people apart. It's time for God's people who he's enlightened, who he has filled, to start shining and shining big, not with our own lights, but with his light. You know, we look at that moon. I looked at a beautiful full moon a couple nights ago. That moon didn't produce any of that brightness. Not at all. It's the sun. The moon reflects the sun, and we see the moon, and we enjoy the moon. It's the same way with Christianity. The S-O-N of God shines into us. We reflect him. That's why it's a smile on my face all the time. Because he's so wonderful to me. I'm putting newness in here. I'm opening up for newness. You know, before I came in here today, last talk I gave, it's on the internet. And the Holy Spirit told me, said, you're not doing that same talk. You got the same subject, but you're not doing the same talk. And I said, okay, I'll do that. Because on Sunday mornings when I get up to preach, I have put stuff into the storehouse, okay? And we got a storehouse here, and the Holy Spirit uses that storehouse, and because, you know, the Word says study to show thyself approved unto God, or workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, you know? So if we will study, God will honor that studying, and then God will use the Word so that we know when to speak it, how to speak it, and how to respond when people respond to the word when we give it to them. And it's not this thing like this. Too many Christians today think, wow, this is a big Bible. I'm going to beat you over the head with this and get you to living right. No. God's love. God is love. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God's saying, this is the way you do it. God says, how did I woo you by my Holy Spirit? Did I beat you over the head with the Bible? Did I tell you you were doing this, 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 and this wrong? Now, once you come to the Lord, that shining light is going to come in, and the Lord's going to say, you know, I'm not really comfortable with you doing this and this. You know, a lot of people, we look at them, and we say, oh, they got saved, but they're still doing this, they're still doing that, and they're still doing the other. Well, thing about it, If the Holy Spirit is there, the Holy Spirit will convict. The Holy Spirit will always point to Jesus, who is our example, and the Word. Jesus is the living Word, and the Holy Spirit takes care of those problems. And we need to be pliable. We need to be like we're on the potter's wheel, where we let the Holy Spirit mold us and make us. A lot of times that's not fun, Mark, because you know, got to get the rough edges off. And getting those rough edges off, refining the gold in us, you got to turn up the heat. And when God turns up the heat in us, we say, ouch. God, that doesn't feel good. But you know, when He gets through, if we will but accept what He's doing, if we would but have teachable spirits, oh God, that we would have teachable spirits. God, what are You trying to teach me? What are You trying to show me, Lord? Lord, I want to get it right the first time. Because here's the thing about it. If there are things the Holy Spirit's trying to get out of your life, and you miss it that first time, it's kind of like a record going around on a record player. And it's going to come right back to that same spot again. It's going to come back again. If you have repetitive times where you're having trouble with the same thing, that's the Holy Spirit saying, all right, get this right and we'll move on. We'll move on to the next thing. If you've gotten to the point, or if I've gotten to the point where all of a sudden the Lord is silent, you know the thing to do? Go back to the last thing He told you to do. And he says, go back to the last directions I gave you, and you be obedient there, then I'm going to open up the next direction. Because here's the thing about it. It's obedience. It's hearing, being obedient on our walk of life. Hearing, being obedient. Hearing, being obedient. Hearing, being obedient. That's the whole Christian life. Because God's got all the answers. God's got all the resources. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And where we have to put up with recession here, where we have to put up with very few materials and minerals and raw materials here, He's got everything. I said the other day at Henry Church, where God guides, He provides. Where He leads, He feeds. What He orders, He pays for. And you know, and we have to walk that walk. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust. You know, you trust in somebody. You got to believe in them. You got to believe they can deliver. You got to believe they love you enough that you can trust them. You know, you got to believe that all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are called according to His purpose. You got to trust completely in God. And when you start trusting completely in God, you get to the point where you say, God, no matter what You tell me to do, I surrender all. I surrender all to Him. All sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. And when we start trusting Him, He'll give us step by step by step. He'll work out miracles to get us from here to here, because this is His plan, you know. And if He gave us too much insight, like 20 years from now, I've got this for you and that for you and the other for you, and you're right here at this point in life, and you start thinking, oh me, I'm overwhelmed, you know, because God's ways are so much higher than our ways, and His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. He will break it up into small sections so we're not overwhelmed at any time in our lives. So you're going inch by inch is a cinch. Yard by yard is hard. God's not going to give you more than you can chew at one time. And He's always preparing you with a destiny. What a beautiful future we've got. What excites me, I mean, you got to be a part of the family of God in order to have that future. Okay? Now, you're not a part of the family of God by just being born. You're a creation of God But you become a part of the family of God when you receive Jesus and his forgiveness. You know, then all of a sudden, now I don't know, all of y'all may have rich uncles and aunts and all like that, and you really got an inheritance coming that you're looking forward to. But I tell you what, you can be dirt poor and a Christian and you still got an inheritance. It's out of this world.
Amen.
We're heirs of God.
Amen.
And we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And on those rough days, Clay, when everything just seemed like it's going wrong, you say, regardless, Evelyn, regardless of what the world's throwing at you, you're children of the King with an inheritance.
Yes.
Joint heirs with Jesus Christ, regardless. That should get any Christian excited. Another thing that ought to get you excited. God doesn't look at a certain few over the rest of creation. God's not a respecter of persons. God has the same plan, not the same. God has plans for everyone, regardless of who you are, regardless of what pedigree you got here in this world. God has got plans for you. You know? And that's exciting that he would love me so much that he would have my life worked out. And the thing about it is, I believe God is like Sears Roebuck used to be. I've got good, better, best. You know, Sears started going good, better, best. You know, God's got a good plan. He's got a better plan. He's got a best plan. And as we go down that best plan, we're experiencing his best. We're reaching the new heights in which he has for us. We're going from glory to glory to glory. God's got a permissive will too, though. You know, he's got a perfect will and a permissive will. When I retired from being comptroller of McDuffie County School System, and God told me when I retired, he told me when to retire, one thing. I said, listen, I can retire. I can wait a little bit longer and get a little bit more money, God. When do you want me to retire? He said, well, Tom, when can you retire? And I said, Lord, anything less than 30 years, I retire when I hit 60. Now, I know I don't look 60. That surprises all of you. I know that. But look, I've hit 60. I hit 62 in July. But God said, all right, so 60, Tom, and you'll have 27.333 years. He said, I have allowed you to be comptroller. But now I have a new assignment for you to finish up your walk with. And that's to preach the gospel, to share my love, make a difference in people's lives with the gospel. And I'm excited about it. And I don't think it's just, you know, we've got a church, a local church. Say, y'all got a local church. But, you know, God has shown me this goes beyond the local church. You know, just coming up here, you know. Never been to Alaska before. I've been to some places, India on the mission field, Mexico, South America along the Amazon, been some places. But you know, coming up here, God said that I am opening up a new horizon. You know, not to leave the church that I'm pastoring, but a new horizon. And I think it's that way in anybody's life, and you've got a choice. When he starts speaking new things into you, you can say, I'll accept that, and I'll go with it. And with that will be glory upon glory upon glory. Or you can say, God told me this. When I retired, he said, all right, you got two choices. You can pastor this little church, okay? Or you can retire and not pastor any church. I leave it up to you. Because, see, God is the God of choice. He gives us choice. We're free moral agents. God could have made us all robots, and we could be programmed every morning to say, praise the Lord, I love you, Jesus, you know. He could have done it if he wanted to, because God can do anything except for the things that he has limited himself to in the Word. God's put limits on.
Amen.
You know, he put those limits on there. We couldn't put those limits on there, but he put the limits on there. You know, if my people who are called by my name, you know, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. If it ever was a land that needs healing today, it's the United States of America. The United States of America was birthed by God, by godly people who wanted freedom to worship. They weren't getting that freedom over in England or whatever country they came from. And it's gotten so turned around now. And God is ready to bring it back. You know what God could have done? He could have done what a lot of people of prophecy are saying today. We've got calamity coming, no more chances. 80% of people will be dead within a year. If we have this electronic magnetic pulse come in from countries that hate us, like North Korea, Russia hates us, don't be fooled. Russia's in the game, don't be fooled. Putin has a plan, don't be fooled. And it's the grace of God that's holding these countries back. The thing that would bother me more than anything else, more than any army, than any navy, than any military, the thing that would bother me more than anything else, if God removed his hand of protection off of America. Oh, God's patient. God's put up with a lot, church. And that's why it excited me in January when Nancy was saying, all right, 7 years of plenty, get to work, fill up the storehouses with souls. God's given us an opportunity because, you know, I read in my Bible about the former rain and the latter rain. And these people are saying that we just like this and it's going to be all over. Wait a minute. We have not experienced the latter rain in its fullness. We have not experienced people pouring in and giving their hearts to the Lord. The latter rain is the greater rain. And we were born for such a time as this to facilitate the latter rain of Jesus Christ, of salvation, of people coming and being hungry and moved by the Spirit of God like they've never seen it any time. You know, great awakening, whatever you want to call it, it's still in our future. It gives us something to look forward to. It gives us hope. And the Spirit's going to begin speaking more and more. The Spirit speaks to everybody. But the Spirit's going to begin speaking more and more and going to begin, because the first job of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin. And we're going to see the Holy Spirit working on the other end with the lost people, preparing the way. And it's just going to be a matter of us showing there in the Shekinah glory of God, showing up there, and they're going to fall to their knees and receive Jesus. I put one of those white things. I know it. I put it in there, one of those white things, and it tastes good. But that tells me one more thing. My mouth's getting a little dry. Let me put some in. Thank you.
Can I open the window?
Yes. You would think, being from Georgia, that we want a lot of heat, but y'all's humidity is low, and it's not that cold. We have not been cold since we've been here. It's dry, and because of that, you don't get chilled, you know? I love to be victorious. See, the thing about it is this. Satan works in so many ways because what he's trying to do is undermine God in our lives. He tries to talk to us and to get us thinking negative. Like Joyce Meyer says, he tries to get us to have stinking thinking. You know, and what we need to do, we've been told when Satan starts speaking, because if you can hear God, you can hear Satan. Okay? But you've got the definition, and you can know which one it is by the Word of God. The things that God speaks are in line with His Word. Okay? Things Satan speaks, accuser of the brethren. He accuses. He accuses us. He says, you're a failure. You're never going to be anything. He gets us to start comparing ourselves with other people that plays instruments or preaches. Or he's got us comparing ourselves all the time. You're not as good as they are. And he gets us where we get prideful when we do a good job. You know, and pride cometh before the fall. Satan's not in heaven today because of pride. Satan has been around a long time, and we know the weapons of his warfare. We know. We've read the Word, and we know how he operates. Bible says this. Satan starts talking to you. First, submit yourselves unto the Lord. Resist the devil, and it doesn't say he might flee. It says he will flee from you. You know, the Bible speaks of Satan as a like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But then the Word tells us greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. So when we know who we are in Christ, when we get saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you walk through a door. And on the other side of that door are the nine gifts of the Spirit. And as you need certain gifts of the Spirit, it's kind of like going to the library. The Holy Spirit checks them out to you. You need this one. You need healing. You need to help this person with deliverance. You need, they're right there. Check out. Now, are they ever yours? Are those library books ever yours to say, this is mine? You check these out as you need them because they are part of your arsenal. But if you're not saved, the only prayer that God's going to hear from a lost person is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, that's the only language that is understood from a lost person, you know? And then when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, you interpret, you prophesy, we all should desire to prophesy according to the Word. And you know, it wouldn't say it in the Word if God didn't mean it. Nothing's in the Word just to fluff things up. You know, when the Word says, the thief cometh not but for to, I think it's John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they may have life more abundantly. Now, if abundant life wasn't available to us, Jesus never would have said it. So a lot of people now, they look at that and they say, I want to live beyond the comma. I'm come that they may have life, comma, and that they may have it more abundantly. It's our choice. It's our choice. I found out that if we'll step forward in obedience toward our destiny, I don't care what age you are. I mean, here's Moses over there tending to Jethro, his father-in-law's cattle and all like that. And then here's this burning bush that God's in and says, take your shoes off. I think he was 80 or 90 years old. I'm not sure which one. See, he was elder, but God wasn't through with him yet. You may be older like I am, but I tell you what, God, he's not through with me yet. You know, I don't care how young you are. God's got plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans prosper you and give you health. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. We all have hope. We all have hope. Now, the Lord told me something the other day. We were on Thursday night before we came here. And we had the prayer group there. And what we do, we have on Thursday nights Bible study for an hour, intercessory prayer for 30 minutes after that. And we were down there and they were praying for me and I was standing in for my wife coming up here. Okay? And the Lord spoke to me and said, even before the foundation of the world, I picked you, and it wasn't just me he's talking about. And the same goes for you. Even before the foundation of the world, I picked you to be created for such a time as this. You know, and God's got to really trust us, you know, and every life experience that you've had, every hardship that you've had, God has been but preparing you for such a time as this. For the grand finale, for the wrap-up, it's an exciting time to live. We just hadn't been put here to be fillers on this earth. We have been put here with a purpose and with a plan. That's what's so exciting. I'm excited. I'm more excited than I've ever been in my whole life because of the opportunities that God gives. And I'm right there. All you got to do is say, Lord, I surrender all. You know, you own me. You bought me with a price. And, you know, Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth through me. You're talking about turning a world upside down. We start letting Jesus Christ live through us. We start letting Jesus Christ speak through us. We start being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, and the world will be turned upside down. I tell you what, the stage is set. It's set. It's set. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Don't grow weary. Don't fall asleep. America right now is going through a shaking. Now, who's doing the shaking? God's doing the shaking. And God's using people to do that shaking that we would not particularly think that they would be great Christians or something like that. You know, people who say 2 Corinthians or something like that. You know, it's a number of things, but God is doing the shaking right now. God is shaking because God is not satisfied because we've been lulled to sleep. Christians have gone to the back. And we're the head, not the tail. But we're operating from the tail ship. You know? Word says everywhere we put our feet, it's ours. You know? God's doing a work. I don't know how my time is, because I done got caught up in spirit over here. And these notes, they don't mean nothing, okay? It's 2:30 now. Did I start at 1:30? Okay, all right. And I don't want to keep piling on. You know, you're playing football and you get a bunch of football players on that runner and they call, the ref throws a flag and says, piling on. And I don't want a 15-yard penalty. But you know what? What's been coming through has been good. Not because I'm a conduit for him. That's all I am. You know, I can't take no glory for anything that's said here. But you know, I can rejoice with you because this is new stuff for me too. This is fresh stuff, fresh manna. I can rejoice with you. I come more convicted as I'm in the pulpit on Sunday morning. And what the Lord's doing first, the Holy Spirit is dealing with me first. You know, I don't get up there and say, y'all have been doing this and y'all have been doing that. I say, we have been. You know, I confess first because I'm far from perfect. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Say you hadn't sinned, then you're a liar according to the word. You know, we're not liars. We know we've fallen short. Winners in the end. I know I was going to come really close, Evelyn, to that citizens of heaven, you know, and I'm trying to kind of stay away from the citizens of heaven because that's your talk, and I'm trying to stay here winners at the end, you know, and we're winners now. We are more than conquerors through him who died for us. More than conquerors. Much more than conquerors. That's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, what did Jesus say? I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am. Oh, that's what's going to be. so wonderful about heaven. So that where I am, there ye may be also. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. And I knew your mom too. We were in your mom and dad's church.
This lady had a dream. And that's what she saw mom in the dream, and she looked at me and she said, cancer didn't win. Heaven won.
That's right. That's right.
Sometimes when we lose people, we don't understand. We just don't realize there's an eternity, like she just said, and you said, heaven won.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because they're in a far better place. Of course, God sends some people back. He's not through with them yet. And he sends them back, you know. But the thing about it is, I have never met anybody yet that's been there that didn't want to stay there. You know? Unless God says, I'm not through with you yet. And you know, if he's not through, you don't want to stay there. You want to come back here and finish up the task which he's created you for. We had fun in here.
Talked about a subject that's dear to my heart.
Oh, it's dear to mine.
And I did.
Mm.